We're just friars, damn it. Today on Podcastmagoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I'm Autumn.
And I'm James.
And today I am so excited to bring you our V movie, V for Van Helsing.
Yes, whenever we were making the list, you were so incredibly excited that we were finally going to talk about this movie for the show.
Yay!
And that it was the V movie. So, you know how it goes, folks. Whenever we do the A to Z, we pepper in movies that we know are going to be a sure thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we don't know how we're going to be. Because what if we had a bunch of stinkers in a row?
Ooh, yeah.
So you have to throw in a movie that you know is going to be a softball, you know.
Yeah, one that we can be excited about,
yep.
Or at least excited to revisit.
Yeah.
I know James doesn't revisit this movie as often as I do.
No. This movie came out in 2004. It runs at a pretty damn long 2 hours and 11 minutes.
It is a very long movie, yeah. But it never felt that long to me.
I think that's because of the fact that it is chock full of stuff,
yeah, yes.
Going on the entire time.
Stuff is happening.
And hopefully we can get through this episode and it ends up under an hour and 15 minutes because it's a lot. Like it jams so much lore of the kind of your well-known Universal monster stuff.
Yeah.
That it's just like, golly, like you guys threw everything in here. And it's just a straight up monster mash of stuff. Mm-hmm.
I was literally going to bring that up, that the opening of the film is exactly that, a big monster mash.
Yeah.
Because it's filmed in black and white, which is brilliant. I wish the whole film was black and white, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that would make a really good special edition.
Yes.
If they haven't already done that.
Yeah.
But I love the beginning because, yeah. Black and white, monster mash. We see Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
We see Dracula.
Yeah.
We see the creature. And we see Igor.
Yeah, yeah.
We have all four of these characters that are well known and loved in the beginning.
And we're already thrown into pretty much the end of Frankenstein's story, which is all the angry villagers coming. It's just a hot mess, like, because ultimately it's Dr. Frankenstein is doing his famous experiment of making life happen, and it turns out that pretty much it's Dracula commissioned this.
Yeah.
And we don't really know yet why Dracula's so interested in reanimating life, because I mean ultimately a vampire already does that. A vampire is already making things undead. So why would he need to make a monster?
Right.
He himself is a monster.
Well, and Victor Frankenstein's like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Which, that leads to him dying. Whoops.
Yeah. Right. So what ends up happening is Frankenstein's monster comes to life, is incredibly theatrical, which, by the way, the actor that plays Frankenstein's monster is a stage actor.
It's obvious, by the way, that he portrays this character.
Yeah, and he would eventually go on to play Frankenstein's monster in Young Frankenstein on Broadway. So,
okay.
If you're good at something, keep doing it.
I like the portrayal of Frankenstein in this, having the intelligence that he does. Definitely one of my favorite Franks out there.
Yeah. Everything goes sideways as all the villagers get into the castle, and Frankenstein's monster is all sorts of pissed off and heartbroken that his father, his papa, has been killed. And so he ends up running to the windmill. We know this scene well, folks. And Igor is just like, hey, the monster's going that way. And so all the villagers chase him to the windmill, and Dracula and his brides are going to the windmill to get Frank's monster. And
it's Frankenstein and Frank. Okay?
There we go. We'll just call him Frank. Yeah, we'll call him Frank from this point on. But because Frank is a big part of Dracula's experiment, and so he needs him. The windmill gets caught on fire. Frank and Frankenstein fall through into the fire. Dracula's like, oh no. And the brides are like, wah!
So yeah, they're very dramatic.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the fact that the actor that portrays Dracula is so incredibly theatrical to a point where it's parody.
I know, but I love him so much. He's so campy.
Yes.
And this is the guy that, if you've ever seen Moulin Rouge, it's the Duke from Moulin Rouge. So, like, this was around the same period, too.
Yeah.
So to go from that to Dracula,
yeah,
a big stretch, but absolutely love him. I love the brides, too, despite their dramatics.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I think that everybody... So I would love to know, because I've watched this movie a dozen times, but I've never watched it with commentary.
Yeah, true.
I would
yeah.
really like to understand the process of making the movie, because it just seems as if the director had told all the actors, listen, just do every line as theatrical and over the top as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Basically take the Schumacher Batman movies and put that into your lines.
Yes.
And I think they all deliver quite well on this.
He told Hugh,
rein it back.
Yeah. Make sure you're brooding.
Yeah.
You're brooding
yeah,
the
you're
whole
brooding,
time.
You're brooding. This is a Universal Monsters movie. This is an official, this was going to be a launch into a new era of Universal Monster films. And they approached it in a Batman 66 kind of way, where it's just so cartoonish.
It's so camp.
It's so, oh my God.
Well, enough of that.
Yeah.
Enough
well, let's get
that.
To the next campy scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we're continuing the Monster Mash by, we're introduced with Van Helsing finally.
Yeah.
He's wanted man
because
everybody thinks that he's a murderer.
Yeah.
We get to see him fight Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. Which the actor that did the mocap for Mr. Hyde, the same as Frankie, baby. It's the same guy. Yep. And
did he do his voice too, or
I'm
just
sure,
the mocap?
I'm sure he had to have. I want to use this as a moment, Mr. Hyde, to talk about the special effects in this movie.
Yes.
Because Mr. Hyde aged like milk.
Well, he didn't look good then either, to be honest.
No, it's because he's a complete CGI character. And he looks like he came off of the set of Shrek.
Yeah.
The first one.
He's straight up cartoon.
Absolutely. And so...
Kind of acts like a cartoon, too.
Well, he's swinging around like a shaved gorilla.
Yeah.
And saying all this shit, you know, because, of course, it's a back and forth between Van Helsing and Mr. Hyde. Van Helsing's just like, oh, you know, I've got orders to take you in. They'd prefer you to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be that way. And then this leads us to our first major action sequence where we see that Van Helsing has all sorts of nifty toys to help him do battle with who knows what he's fought so far.
We also see that this world, the physics, completely different.
Yeah. Well, you had said that this is basically the same universe as Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because there's so many times that Van Helsing should have died in this first scene.
Yes.
Just from swinging around.
Just the scene alone.
Yeah. And nope, he's fine.
Gravity means nothing.
Yes.
He is constantly breaking the law.
Yes.
Van Helsing has these nifty little like saw blade gun thing.
Well, they had to have merchandise to sell.
Yes. And so he utilizes it to cut off one of Mr. Hyde's arms, which I loved. Because whenever the arm falls and is flopping around, it transforms into the Dr. Jekyll arm.
Yes.
That's really fun.
Yes. This also goes into effect when he actually takes care of Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
And we see, This is why Van Helsing is considered a murderer, because everybody comes and sees that there's a dead man.
Yeah. So,
it's just a regular guy.
Yeah. He kind of, Mr. Hyde pulls an Incredible Hulk, because as he's falling to his death, he transforms back into Dr. Jekyll. What a dick move. I bet.
Well, I'm saying, like, I bet werewolves do that when he kills them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everybody goes, gathers around, go, oh my God, you killed another guy.
Yeah. I bet, though, that if Mr. Hyde had not have transformed back into Dr. Jekyll, he would have survived. He's the Gorilla Man. He could probably fall a couple of stories and be fine. Van Helsing returns to HQ in Rome at the Vatican. Just to tighten this up, we get kind of a little bit of the backstory for Van Helsing's character. I'll tell you what, folks. If you're familiar... just between you and me. Don't let Autumn hear this. But if you're familiar with Hugh Jackman's other role as Wolverine, they're almost the exact same character. But one has claws and the other one has a giant hat.
And a crossbow.
Well, so are we talking about Wolverine now? I'm getting confused. All right. But Wolverine, I mean Van Helsing... his backstory is he doesn't know his backstory. He's working for Rome to help do the things that you do when you're working with the Catholic Church, and that is stomp out evil.
That's right.
I took the high road. I was going to go with some jokes there, but I was like, no. No.
Good job, James.
We're going to stick with what's actually happening here.
We also get a lot of backstory on... the mission that they're sending Van on.
Yes.
Which is, there's this family that's been around for a long time, and there's a curse on them, and they keep dying, and there's only two members of this royal family left.
Yep.
The prince and princess, and we gotta protect them, so you gotta go out there and to Transylvania and help them out.
Yeah.
And Van Helsing's kind of like, okay, fine.
He also learns about Dracula, because Van Helsing up to this point doesn't know about Dracula. I thought that was Van Helsing's whole thing.
I thought that a lot of people knew about Dracula at this point, especially with the Mr. Hydes and werewolves and all of that running around.
Dracula, I guess, isn't as popular as you would expect.
I guess not.
We are then introduced to...
one of the most important characters.
Yes.
Carl.
Yes. Friar Carl. Or in my notes, I say Friar Q, because we have a James Bond 007 introduction to all the wacky gadgets that Friar Q has been working on and showing him how to use all the things. And oh boy, he's got all sorts of neat new tricks and doodads and whatnots, as well as this glowing thing that he doesn't know what to use it for. And it's just like, well, I have some ideas, but you see, it emulates the sun. So maybe that could be used for a certain Dracula, but maybe I'm crazy.
Well, maybe they just don't know yet.
That's right.
Maybe they just don't know yet. Carl is also, he's a cool friar.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just a friar, but he's a cool friar.
Well, yeah, he's smoking cigarettes and wearing sunglasses.
And he cusses, damn it.
That's right.
I love Carl. Like, honestly, back then I was so angry because there was not Carl merchandise.
Yeah.
Like, they did not commercialize him, and it's such a shame.
Carl merchandise him.
Carl merchandise him, yeah.
Carl unfortunately learns that he's actually going to be joining Van Helsing out in the field. And he's like, well, no. I supply the stuff. You use the stuff. And it's like, nope, you got to come with, buddy. Pat, pat, pat.
Poor Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Now we might as well check in with that prince and princess, see what's going on. Turns out that they're doing the most dangerous thing in the world, which is monster hunting.
Yes.
That is what their family has done for a long time.
Yeah.
We see the two fight a werewolf.
Okay, so here's the thing, Autumn. is their bloodline okay? Because...
That's what I'm wondering.
Maybe it's okay. Or maybe, I understand how they're dying out.
Yeah.
Because this is the most sloppy, bullshit, nonsense werewolf hunt I've ever seen.
I know.
This is amateur shit.
It's like they've never fought together before, because right. It's like she has no faith in her brother.
Yeah.
In Valken.
And they have no plan.
Yeah.
There's
kind of a plan, but I don't think he let her in on everything.
Yeah.
Because it's because of Anna.
Yeah.
That he fucks everything up.
Yeah. Also, okay, so when all the shit hits the fan, because what they're doing is he's the bait. Werewolf comes. Werewolf's supposed to fall into the trap. Bing, bang, boom. He uses his pistol with the silver bullets, and we're done.
Mm-hmm,
It doesn't go to plan at all. And I'm just thinking, why does he have the only silver bullets? He has the only thing that actually can kill a werewolf.
Why
doesn't she
Anna
have anything?
Have them too as a monster hunter.
At the very least, like, have a whip with silver beads at the end.
Yeah.
Like something.
Was her sword silver? I don't know.
Well, obviously not, because the fact that she would have probably used it on the werewolf better.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe because it's silver and it's, you know, silver's not exactly the toughest metal in the world. You know, it'd be like trying to take down a wildebeest with a butter knife.
Yeah. Well, the bloodline really not looking good now, because since everything fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big tussle with werewolf and Valken, and they end up going over into the river.
Yeah.
You know, it's a splash moment,
yes.
You know?
Yeah. Well, as far as bloodline goes, Autumn, at the very least, the family name is now dead.
True.
They'll still be genetic relatives.
but
as the name is officially gone.
I mean,
now.
Maybe she can talk her husband into taking her last
That's
name.
That's not how this works this time.
Well, she could just be like, look, it's a very important last name. We got to keep it.
This is 1888, which actually, hold on. This is 1888?
I know.
This is almost the 1900s.
I was going to say it seems like it should be like maybe 1600s.
17-something at the furthest.
Yeah.
But for it to be 1888... at this current point in time, like, the rest of the world is doing a lot of, like, modern thing. Steam trains are, like, all this shit's a thing. Meanwhile, Van Helsing's running around in a... Because we have that Indiana Jones-style map showing the travel and them going over mountains and all that shit.
And they're in the carriage.
Yes, and they're like a carriage ride nonsense. Which, I mean, at the very least, we're now insulting the very good people of Transylvania. Van Helsing and Friar Carl arrive at the town, and Van Helsing is looking for Anna, and the entire townsfolk are basically like, we don't care for strangers around these parts.
He even gets to meet Anna first thing, and
yeah.
She's Miss Tough Stuff, and is all, well, we don't need any help from strangers like you. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not exactly doing so great yourself. Their little pissing contest gets cut short because there's a bride attack.
Yeah, we get to see the brides in their full baddie glory.
Yeah.
Yet again, the CGI is not great.
Sometimes looks good, sometimes looks bad.
Yeah, but I love their costumes.
Yeah.
I love them. I love them, like, just working together and being crazy. And
yeah. This whole segment of Anna Van Helsing and Carl fighting the brides is, I would say, equal to riding a one of those like 4D theatrical experiences in a theme park.
Oh, yeah.
Or attending the Indiana Jones action show at Universal Studios.
Okay, I can't remember if they did have a Van Helsing ride.
They had to have had one of those, like, at the very least, like the
barrel ride or whatever.
Or a stunt show.
Yeah.
Because this scene is it is 100% a showcase of everybody's skill at pulling stunts. And I was having such an incredibly hard time keeping my notes to make any damn sense, because I was like, well, what about any of this is actually important?
Yeah, because there's just so much going on.
Yeah.
The important bits are... There's some funny Carl moments.
Sure.
Anna gets stalked by two of the brides while in a house.
Yeah.
I can't remember why Anna went into the house.
Oh, well, so one of the brides...
Oh, she fell in. Yeah, that's yeah, she right. Fell in. She went to go look for it by herself.
Yeah. Anna, with the first time that she's fighting the bride inside the house, Anna leaves the house and then goes inside the tavern.
That's right.
And then that's when she's cornered by the two brides.
Two brides.
All the while, Van Helsing is fighting one bride. Van Helsing is an absolute shit at shooting his automatic crossbow.
I literally said, this is how I play video games. I just shoot and shoot and hope it hits something.
Yeah.
he's bad. He wasted a lot of bullets, but he does end up taking care of one of the brides, actually.
Yeah.
Can you believe that one of them's already dead?
One down. Fantastic.
What the heck?
Hey, you know what? He's actually doing his job of being a monster hunter.
And my favorite one, too.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't win them all.
So, because Van Helsing took care of the bride, Anna is saved because the other brides, they freak out and run away because they're all emotionally connected.
Yeah.
And now we get to go back to Dracula because he's also emotionally connected.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Get ready for the theatrics, folks.
Yeah. The villagers, they're mad about Van Helsing killing Mariska. Dracula's mad about it. And they're all mad about it for the same reason, because they're like, they take what they need and leave us alone.
Yeah, as it turns out, Dracula's not so bad.
Yeah, like, they have a thing worked out.
They have something figured out. Now, I mean, it'd be better if they had like an agreement where it's like, okay, we have planned out each week this particular person that you get to eat, you know,
right.
Like, so it can't be random. It has to be who we choose, you know, and then they all do a lottery on who gets fed to a Dracula.
Or maybe it's the people that do bad things.
Could be. See, now that's interesting, where it's a capital punishment, death by Dracula.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wins.
Right.
But we run out of crooks. See, this is the problem. It always falls apart. Dracula goes on his long monologue.
I love it because he's just talking about how he can't feel anything and he's so hollow and it's so theatrical.
We see that Igor is still hanging out with Drac and torturing a werewolf. We've got a werewolf.
Now we got a werewolf for real.
This is the Monster Squad. He's plucking at Wolfman's nards.
Probably. Dracula, his whole thing is, I want to try to make the creature again. Let's do it. The brides are like, why? Like, you saw what happened the first time. We can't go through that emotional turmoil again.
And he's like, shush. And tells them, Igor, and all the ghouls, it's time to go to Castle Frankenstein away. So there's a lot of scenes between Van Helsing and Anna that I think this movie would be shorter if they would go ahead and just take out their dialogue together. Uh-huh. Because it's always this kind of round robin. They start with a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
They argue about it, and then they come back around. And no matter how much one or the other argues against the point, after 5 or 6 minutes, it comes to, oh, well, no, you're right. Okay, we're going to do this thing together.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like Van Helsing's like, I'm going to help you. You're clearly having a monster problem. And Anna's like, I have to find my brother. And he's just like, well, I've got to take care of this Dracula problem. And she's just like, well, stay out of my way, mister. And he's like, all right, let's team up.
Yeah.
I just feel like they were so incredibly focused on the action for the movie that when it comes to the actual, like, character relationships, it just falls flat in a lot of different ways. Except for with Carl.
Yeah.
They knew how to write Carl.
Oh, yeah. They knew Carl inside and out. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that they're going to work together, though, because Van Helsing totally leaves for the hunt without Anna.
Yes.
He knocks her out.
Yeah.
And then leaves without her.
Yeah. When she wakes up, she hears a sound and she's investigating the castle and she sees little drippy drips.
Ew.
And it turns out that there's a stinky wet werewolf in the place.
Pee you. How does she not smell it when it was right above
right?
her?
Right. Come on.
Or at least like the smell had to have been stinking up those hallways.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's 1888. Everybody stunk.
Okay. She's...
So you're just used to stink.
Yeah. I was going to say, smells like grandma's house tonight.
And yeah. I was going to say, like, if anything, the smell of wet werewolf might be an improvement. The werewolf transforms back into a man to reveal that it's actually her brother.
Ooh.
Well, this is tricky.
Yeah. The way that they do the transformation in this film is really cool because he's like literally ripping his skin off.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite werewolf transformations.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't really think that I had seen anything like that up until this point. Not anything that I can think of off the top of my head right now, but it is very unique.
Yeah.
I've seen it done since then, for sure.
Yeah. So outside of, I guess, like American Werewolf in London and stuff, where you have like that painful transformation.
Yeah.
But this movie takes up a notch where they're literally ripping off their skin to reveal the wolf within.
Yeah.
Ooh, it rhymed.
Ooh.
And, but I do wonder, what happens to all the flesh?
It just,
what happens to the bits?
It just stays there. The rats get it.
Yeah, like, you would think that you'd be able to track a werewolf quite easily because you just follow the trail of,
you just find the pelt.
Skin bits.
Yeah.
You know, the human skin bits. Van Helsing comes in to see Velken and he wants to hunt him because he's a werewolf.
Yeah, that ain't your brother anymore, he says.
We have more of that round robin nonsense between Van Helsing and Anna. And again, it goes back to, okay, fine. Let's team up.
Yeah, and save him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wonderful.
Meanwhile, Dracula and Igor are working on the creature.
Yay!
So we're getting to see a lot of back and forth during this part of the movie. And when I say a lot of back and forth, I mean it.
It was really, really, really challenging because it felt like as soon as I was looking down to write notes, it was already back to the other setting.
So it goes back and forth between Dracula and Igor working on the experiment and abusing Velken.
Yeah.
And Van Helsing and Anna getting to the castle and lamenting about, the glory days of the family and whatnot, and how much she loves her brother.
Yeah. Yeah, truthfully, I really hate to have to skip over a whole lot of stuff for this.
Yeah.
But God, it's so much. And the only important thing that I want to point out, the snippet of all this, is when Anna and Van Helsing are still looking for her brother.
Right.
Before he escapes, there's that scene where Van Helsing has that awkward encounter with the Undertaker.
Yes.
And the Valken Wolf attacks and the Undertaker gets tossed into an open grave. His shovel lands next to it and then his hat lands on top of the shovel spinning. That's all I want to bring up because I really want to get to the actual meat of the movie. Now back to the part where Van Helsing and Anna are at castle. They start to see kind of what's going on, which there's these big nasty sacks of who knows what hanging around everywhere connected to wires.
They look delicious to me.
They look awful.
I want to chew on one so bad.
That might be a deal breaker.
I don't know what it is about them.
There's something wrong here.
I just want to chew on those sacks so bad.
Guys, I'm blinking twice for help. While they're poking around, literally, these sacks, Drac is getting all of his ghouls geared up to make the experiment happen. Now, for all you that are familiar with Frankenstein's experiments, as we all know, you know, you got the slab, you put the monster on the slab, you send the slab up to the top of the place, the lightning happens, bam, life. Well, he doesn't have Frankenstein's monster. He doesn't have Frankie Baby. But he's got a Wolfie. And so he straps Valkenwolf to the slab and sends him up because one good monster is as good as another.
That's right. With that lightning strike, we see that those sacks were in fact eggs.
Yes.
And all the little babies come out.
Yep, little baddie boys flying around. Drac is a proud papa.
Little squee squeeze. Yep, the brides are happy. Yeah. He's happy. Throws the brides to fly with the babies.
Yes, he's like, teach them to feed. And so the brides and all the Draci babies are flying to the village to wreak havoc. Anna's going up to save her brother from the slab. And Van Helsing and Drac have their first showdown. Oh, so much going on in this this section. Again, is incredibly challenging.
Yep, because you got Drac and Van Helsing.
Yeah.
You got the mommies and the babies terrorizing the village. Yeah. And Carl.
Yes.
Carl, the most important.
Yeah. You can all assume what all's going on with all those other jackasses. Let's talk about Carl.
Yeah.
Carl sees all the Draci babies, just like, I have to tell somebody. And he runs down into the village and sees just the complete chaos of people being hoisted away by all these Draci babies. And he sees a lady that's being attacked, and he throws a bucket and saves the day.
Hey, and guess what? He's just a friar.
He's just a friar. That's right. If you know what we mean, wiggle eyebrows now. Because the lady wants to repay him.
Ooh,
now,
la la.
If anything, he would have just distracted the Drac baby.
Yeah.
Carl's going to go ahead and take all the credit. However, unknown to him, what really happened is that this experiment did not go to Drac's plan.
Nope.
Because you can't replace a Frankie with a Wolfie.
That's right.
It's incompatible.
Yep. Does not compute.
No.
Not good for the formula.
All the babies pop into green goo.
The goo.
Okay, the goo looks delicious.
The goo looks delicious.
Yeah, that I'm okay with.
The goo comes from the eggs, though. So.
But I don't want the eggs. I just want the goo. All right. So back with Anna and her brother, Wolfie Boy, it's just not working out, folks. Now, back to Drac and Van Helsing. Now, this is where the most important stuff's happening, other than Carl, of course. and that is Van Helsing learning that him and Drac have known each other for quite a long time.
Mm.
And by quite a long time, I mean hundreds of years. They've been battling each other.
Yep.
And
Van Helsing does not remember any of it. He's like, you must be thinking of some other bitch.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm just trying to make Van Helsing sassy instead of brooding, okay?
Which, I mean, he is pretty sassy.
A little bit here and there.
Drac's just like, well, let me reintroduce myself. I am Dracula, and, you know, and he goes on his big speech. He's full of speeches, folks.
He's got so many good monologues.
Mm-hmm. Since the baddie boys all popped, this distracts the brides, it distracts Drac, and Van Helsing and Anna can escape yet again from this castle. The Wolfman falls into the river again.
He just loves that river.
Just loves being a wet dog. Now, you would think that this would equal dead Wolfman. However, we do see that Drac is hanging out again with his brides, Igor, and Wolfman shows up and shakes all the water off.
You know, Drac made the big exit,
mm-hmm.
and then he's just standing there.
He's vampires, man.
That's what vampires do.
They're just always doing these big exits just to hang out. They don't expect anybody to look back, I guess. Anna and Van Helsing go to the remains of the windmill to get out of the rain, because, of course, you have to have a stormy scene. And
ooh la la, you'd think some romance would happen.
but they fall through the floor.
You know, a ship I just don't see is Anna and Van Helsing.
No, but we have a different ship that did happen, and that is checking back in with Carl.
Ooh la la, for real.
I've heard of Friar Tuck, but Friar Fuck?
Damn it.
While Friar Carl is strutting around after a job well done, he also goes by a nickname of NyQuil because he put her ass to sleep.
Oh my God, James.
He discovers this like secret tapestry that shows the ancient battle of good and evil, and it's just like, oh, there's writing on this. Ooh, oh, it's animated. That's pretty much what he sounds like.
That was a good impersonation. Yeah. Yes.
I hope you're ready for round two.
Oh my God, I can't handle this.
Hope you hydrated. Checking back with Van Helsing and Anna, they are in a cavern underneath the windmill, and it turns out that this entire year, Frankie's just been hanging out, friends.
Yeah, he's been reading the Bible.
Yep. Practicing Shakespearean plays, I assume.
Maybe putting his little toesies in the puddle that's down there.
Yeah, yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
You don't want no stinky Frankie toes.
Oh, they're going to be stinky anyway, because that's a nasty-ass puddle.
That puddle wasn't there originally.
Oh, my God. James, you're killing me.
Kind of like how you have the relationship between Anna and Van Helsing, where they fight and then they're friends. It's also this, like, uh-oh, we got a nasty monster, but we're all friends now. Are we? I don't know. Because it's this thing where they're like, Frank just wants to be left alone.
Mm-hmm. I get him.
But
he's down there. Nobody's hassling him. He's reading his books.
He understands, though, that he needs to stay hidden because if Drac finds him, then he has the key to have long-living little Dracky babies.
Yep.
No one expected. I didn't expect that old Wolfie-Stein was going to be peeping in the hole, and here's everything. So now it's just a matter of what are we going to do with the Frankenstein's monster? Well, I guess we'll send them to Rome, and they can take care of him. This leads to another fantastic Fast and the Furious-esque action sequence. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and reveal the bamboozle. They pull the old decoy wagon gag.
Uh-huh.
And it almost goes perfect to plan, except for the fact that when they swap back over to the wagon that actually has Frankie and Carl riding, it just leads to this enormous action sequence where the wagon's on fire.
Everything that can go wrong is going wrong, yes. Essentially.
Yep.
Because, the wagon's on fire. They're on steep hill that has a drop. The Wolfman shows up and starts ripping apart stuff.
The horses have anti-gravity shoes, apparently.
Yes. It really is like old school Fast and Furious here.
Mm-hmm.
Since Wolfie showed up, Van Helsing and him have this epic fight.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this leads to Velkin's death.
Yeah. He didn't fall into a river this time.
Yeah. But, there goes the other half of the bloodline again.
Yeah. For sure this time.
For sure this time. It's also discovered, though, that Van Helsing got bitten.
Yep.
Our hero?
Our hero is a wolf man? Oh, my God. Anna and Van Helsing are just kind of reacting to the fact that, well, how the hell is he supposed to be the hero now that he's going to be a monster soon?
Yeah.
And they don't have long to reflect on this because Anna gets snagged by a bride. Jeez, do we have enough bananas to chase in this movie?
Right? So Van Helsing obviously isn't too upset about this because we go to the next scene where we're in the village and one of the brides just shows up to go, hey, there's masquerade going on tonight. You should come because it's Halloween. By the way.
Yeah. To solidify this movie as a Halloween film?
I guess so. Where they could play it on ABC Family during Halloween.
That's right. Frankie discovers that Van Helsing's been bitten. He's just like, whatever they got planned for me isn't as bad as what shit you've got going on. Also, how dare you treat me like a monster when you yourself are the biggest monster of all?
Yep. Ooh, ouch.
What they decide to do while they're about to go to this big masquerade ball is to go ahead and hide Frankie in a tomb to keep him safe.
Mm-hmm.
Van Helsing's just going to show up, clean house, and then get Anna and go. But this does not go to plan at all, because as Carl and Van Helsing are leaving the graveyard, we see a creepy hand come out from one underneath one of the tombs. And it's like, ooh, damn, somebody was already hanging out. It was probably the other bride.
I think so, yeah.
Van Helsing and Carl arrive at this incredibly elaborate dance hall where we have all these people in all these fancy costumes. There's a juggler balancing on like a giant chocolate ball.
It's one of those classic like Versailles scenes, you know, golden halls, everybody's in big floofy dresses, some masks here and there.
Yeah, Dracula's dancing with Anna. Mm-hmm. She looks in the mirror. She sees that not only does Dracula not have a reflection, but literally nobody there other than her has it. It's the Transylvania twist is what they're doing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's bigger than the MASH. Van Helsing and Carl arrive in their goofy little outfits, and Van Helsing is just like, I've got a plan, which is to be the world's worst trapeze artist.
Yes.
What was the plan?
Well,
hop on this thing and see plan later.
Obviously, he was just going to swing down and grab her and go.
Yeah. Yeah. I was expecting, like, I mean, this is, I've seen a better plan in Mallrats whenever Jay and Silent Bob are trying to take down the stage for the matchmaking show. They also, while all this is not going great, Frankenstein's monster has been captured.
Yeah.
And Dracula's just like, hey, thanks for all the cool shit, you dipshit.
I think the hand might have been Igor. Because it's Igor going.
Maybe it was.
I got him. Hey, look, I got him.
Yeah. Oh, good eye. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Igor, I forgot to mention that, guys, the person playing Igor is old Swan from Lord of the Illusions.
Yes.
We have another connection to another movie.
Yes. You would never know, though, because they put him in some of the most god-awful special effects makeup.
I'm sorry. No, his
it looks so bad.
I also can't stand the makeup for The Undertaker. It's also
that one's bad, not bad.
I think it's bad latex also.
It's not terrible. Cartoonish. Not terrible. They could have just been CGI'd. Well,
I mean, compared to Igor, I guess, he's not terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Drax just like, well, now that I got everything I need, sick 'em, boys. And all of the people of the party start to chase Van Helsing, Carl, and Anna.
Hey, but this is where Carl gets to be the most important character in the movie.
That's right.
Again.
Yes.
Where he gets to use the sun bomb.
Yay.
Yay, Carl. You did it.
Good job, Carl. They return back to their home base, and Carl's just like, hey, I found all this cool secret stuff in the walls that's talking about this ancient battle between good and evil. I think that the guy kind of looks like you, Van Helsing. The other guy's very clearly Dracula.
And Van Helsing's over there like,
yeah, he might have rabies.
Because he's starting to show signs that he's turning into a wolf.
By being a little snippy. And they find this big door basically appears, and but they don't know what to do with it because it's missing a little piece of the spell in the corner. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Van Helsing was gifted the scroll mm-hmm. way back in the beginning of the movie.
Oops, we forgot to mention that little bit.
It's a really important thing. And it's just like, oh, well, here you go.
And his ring that just so happens to match the symbol on that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. It's just all these little devices yeah. that, I mean.
Didn't really need them.
Yeah, it's cool, sure, mystery, Da Vinci Code, whatever.
Sure.
But.
It didn't add anything
silly.
To the story.
It's a little too it. Silly.
Yeah. They do they say the magic words and they find out that this is how Dracula is going to his mm-hmm. castle that no one's known where it was this entire time.
Right.
It's these portals and walls that transport him, shoosh, to a very cold place.
Yeah, it is a very snowy environment, and they walk through the snow and get to the castle, and they see that there are more frickin' eggs everywhere.
Yeah.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Ugh. Disgusting.
Igor's there and he's startled by Van Helsing.
Yeah.
But he's got Frank all iced up in this, like, what exactly, like, did he have him in?
He had him tied up and sealed in ice to then raise him up
yeah.
to the laboratory to, I'm more interested in how did they get him out of the block of ice?
Yeah. Like, it's just
this is
kind
the most
of silly.
Impractical thing. Also, Frankie tells Van Helsing, Anna, and Carl that there is, in fact, a cure for the mm-hmm. werewolf disease.
Yes.
And so they learn where, through Igor, they learn where the cure is being kept. And Van Helsing's like, okay, Carl and Anna, you go get the cure. I'm going to go take care of Dracula. We have to be sure that we get this right at midnight mm-hmm. or else it'll be too late and I won't be able to be cured. But I have to be a werewolf to fight Dracula.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because
that's the only way Dracula can be defeated, apparently,
yeah.
in this universe. None of the other normal methods.
Yeah. Cool.
Nothing else.
Nothing else at
all.
A
werewolf.
A werewolf.
Somebody just wanted to see a werewolf and Dracula fight. There's probably 100 other ways.
Yeah. It could have been just a Dracula and werewolf fight. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to have all this. But yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about the Carl and Anna.
Yeah.
And then we'll check back in with Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Carl and Anna, they easily get to where the cure is kept. Mm-hmm. It's in this, like, big glass bubble. And Carl's like, don't trust viscous fluids. And one of the brides shows up. They smash the bubble. And it turns out that it's fucking acid. And he's like, see, I told you. They use a little bit of the acid to dissolve the bars so Carl can take the cure to Van Helsing. Anna has a little bit of a showdown with the bride. Igor has a showdown with Carl. Frankenstein's monster does get loose because Van Helsing helps him. And going back to Van Helsing, how we get to there is he uses his werewolf, like his little bit of werewolf power to climb up as fast as he can to the top of the tower
yes.
to then get Frankie loose. But Frankie is struck by lightning a couple of times, which activates all the babies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Woo.
Frank falls off the tower and does this George of the Jungle fucking rope swing.
Yep.
And
yet again, we get to see the wonderful physics of this world as he swings down and then swings back and up and over and around
yeah.
and upside down and saves Carl.
He saves Carl. Carl then saves Frank because Frank is stuck. And knocks him loose. So then Frank, with perfect timing, just as Anna is about to bite the big one, or maybe the bride's about to bite her big one. Either way, Frankie flies through the window just in time to save Anna. So that Anna can go and save Carl from Carl.
Wait, so is Frankie actually the big hero of the film? He's keep saving people.
I think the hero of the film is anybody that can keep track of everything that's going on in this sequence.
Woo! I'm a big hero then.
Yes, yes. If our audience can understand what's actually happening, then we are the heroes.
They are not going to understand.
No. Dracula is pissed at Van Helsing for getting all up in his shiz, and they're about to have a big showdown when Dracula doesn't expect the grand reveal of Van Helsing transforming into a werewolf. They have this giant CGI fight.
Yes, they do. It's not pretty, folks.
No. Dracula is getting his ass kicked. He dies way easier than I would have ever expected.
Yeah, it doesn't take very long. When Van Helsing takes care of Dracula, all the babies explode.
Yeah.
All the brides have been taken care of at this point, too.
Yes.
So there are no more little batty people running around.
Yeah.
In one last tragedy, though, of the film,
mm-hmm.
Anna tries to cure Van Helsing of his wolfism.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, gets got.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the end of the bloodline for sure.
Yeah. We then have, I think it's in his contract, as the cure happens, Wolf Helsing is howling and then transforms into regular Van Helsing, and you have Hugh Jackman holding a dead lady and screaming.
Uh-huh, with his chest all puffed out,
yeah,
and nude.
Yeah, I've seen this, I think, in every Hugh Jackman film.
Yes.
At the very least, every single X-Men movie.
Yes. It has to be a part of his contract.
It has to be, because this is literally every time he's near a woman, I'll tell you right now. Any actresses out there listening, if you're super excited about being in a movie with Hugh Jackman as his love interest, just know you're going to die at the end.
Right.
And so he can go, no.
With his bippies out.
Yeah. Okay. Now, your character will be safe if he has a shirt on. But if that shirt comes off, you're going to die.
So Van Helsing cured. All the Dracs are taken care of.
Yep.
Anna's dead, so his mission's failed. Womp womp.
Yeah.
We end the film on a beautiful funeral scene. Carl and Van Helsing are standing there burning the body of Anna. And
yeah.
We get to the CGI up in the clouds, Mufasa style.
It's awful. It's awful. If they would have just shown it once. They keep going
back and forth between Van Helsing watching Anna and Velkin like reuniting in the
yes.
clouds. And
I think their dad shows up too.
I can't remember,
and
but
I don't
so
know
cheesy.
How many times do they need to show him look at the clouds
uh-huh.
and then her look at him and like wink?
And he's just kind of smiling, just yeah. kind of smiling.
Yes. And then it'll cut back to her looking at him again and smiling. It's just like it happens like four or five times. This goes on way too long. It's incredibly awkward. But he feels that his mission is absolutely, totally complete. He did a great job.
Sure.
He waves also at Frankie Baby setting sail on the shittiest raft in the world. Where's he going?
I don't know. I can't remember if they were trying to do a sequel or not, but
yes. Yes.
They did.
They were, this movie was supposed to launch a franchise.
That's right.
They stunk a lot of money into this movie.
They stunk a lot of money.
Yes, they did. They stunk that money. So one last thing, and we love it in all these movies, which is our two heroes walk off into the sunset.
Yes.
God. All
How many movies has that happened in this year?
Too many. Too many. Like, and within the past couple.
Hey, but this movie is so bad it's good, though.
Yes. Yeah. So I can absolutely see how Universal is just like, we're sorry. we're not doing many more. Because because flat out, like, while this movie, right before, up to the point of it being released, they were like, they greenlit the sequel to immediately be filmed.
Wow.
Like, it was already, like, they had already done funding. They had a plan.
Yeah,
and all this stuff.
I can't remember that far back if I knew any of that, but if I did, I was probably excited.
Oh, yeah.
Especially to have more Carl.
Yeah. But the movie, it sank like a stone.
Gah.
It sank like a Vulcan river.
Me seeing it four times in the theaters didn't save it?
No.
What?
No. No.
Me buying the DVD immediately didn't save it?
No. No. Now, it might sound like I don't like this movie. And there's aspects about it that I'm definitely, like, while we were watching it, I was rolling my eyes
hard.
Hey,
okay, I can admit, as a fan of the movie, how cheesy and the dialogue especially
is so bad.
But it just works.
It's a really, really, really fun movie. And so, verdict-wise, absolutely check it out.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this movie, I think it is it's a carnival ride.
If you have ADHD, like, it's good for you because, like, there's always something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You are never bored.
You never get a moment to kind of settle in your seat because it's jumping from one thing to the next.
That's
and we left out a ton of stuff.
That's probably why I love it so much, because it's a joy ride for sure.
Yes. So definitely check it out wherever you can find it. It streams here and there. It's not hard to find.
No.
And also the you can find it physically, like a physical copy for it, for real cheap. So definitely get your hands on it and have fun, folks. That brings us to the end this episode of Podcastmagoria's Halloween A2Z. Our next episode is our W episode. W for Warlock.
Hey.
Oh, okay. I saw this like once when I was, you know, probably, well, not when it came out, but like when I was very small.
I watched this film.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Okay. So we'll see how it's aged in the next episode. So hold on until next time. Until next time, if you find yourself hunting Wolfmen, Draculas, Frankensteins. I mean, might as well have a Gillman or two in there, too.
Right? That's why we needed a sequel where we could see Gillman.
So
come on, Hugh.
Have your best Carl at your side. Get plenty of gadgets and all those wonderful toys. And most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Damn it.
Bye. You've been listening to Podcastmagoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.